It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we are brought to you by Pinnacle Racing. Find them at PinnacleRacing.com. Or better yet, as Coach can attest to, look for Pinnacle Racing and Jimmy Blair at the upcoming Spring Fling.
Absolutely. Check Jimmy out. Make sure you get your custom boots and all of your footwear.
I tell you what, the Spring Fling is going to be a fantastic event. We're going to talk about that as we get closer. We're pretty close to it right now. But, Coach, very special on this episode is we have an in-studio guest.
In-studio guest, and we're going to talk photos and pictures and all those good stuff that everybody likes to go on Facebook and check themselves out.
So, wait, are you the one who's always taking the photos of me when I wreck? It's
That's
like the
right.
only photos I ever see are when I'm falling. So, yes, in-studio guest coming up next, Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like five ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And it's always great to have someone visit us here at the Skate Talk Studios, which is what we have on this episode of Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach.
We have Greg Bartram with us. Yay, I'm super excited.
What's up, Greg? He's like very quiet.
He is
shy
quiet.
Over there.
So he's usually behind the lens. See, that's the deal. He's behind the lens, and no one really talks back to him because the camera don't speak. So he doesn't have to worry about it. But here's the deal. We brought Greg in because when you go to a meet, you watch a race, you know, or you skate in a race. And then when you get done with the race, well, what happened in the race? Or how did I look? What was my form like? Well, your coach can tell you. And I can't tell you how many times I've told an athlete, you know, you need to get your butt a little bit lower, or you need to get your knees here, your shoulders are there, you're doing this, you're doing that. And I go to Greg's pictures. I go to Michelle Chauver's pictures because she posts a lot. I go to Cindy Baglier. These are our three photographers within the league that all take photos. And I look at every Bells skater that they photograph because they catch those single moments of time that you can't erase. It's already in the books. So you see what's going on with the body language of the skaters. You see what's going on. And then it's always kind of cool when you see, like, he's got some pictures of me. And I told him he's supposed to put the skinny lens in, but he didn't. He put the wide lens in, the fisheye.
It's Coach
so
yelling, isn't it?
It stretched me out. But anyways, so Greg, what is it like behind the lens of the camera? And how do you go about actually catching those skaters? Because they're coming around fast. I can't imagine. I mean, I would be catching like the left foot as it comes up in the air and nobody. So how do you do that?
So normally I'm looking for them well ahead of the time I'm going to take the picture. So a lot of the rinks are really dark. I've got to lock in the autofocus and okay. be working on it way ahead of the time that I'm going to actually take the picture.
Okay. So you're not relying on the camera itself just focusing in. You're actually physically dialing that lens to zoom into
no,
the shot? Or
it is autofocus, but it still takes it some time to track it. And sometimes, okay. you know, most of the rinks are darker. Mm-hmm. Which also makes it a lot harder to get good shots.
Gotcha for the light expression.
So in terms of the best vantage point at the rink, where would that be? Where do you like to set up?
Well, typically you have to look for lighting issues and things like that. So if I've got neons in the background or the really bright lights around the snack bar or something else, that's usually what I try not to get in the pictures.
Okay.
So that the focus is a little better on the skaters. So I'm usually looking for a pretty plain backdrop,
okay.
per se.
And you want the background to be darker than the front, basically. You don't, or
not necessarily darker. I'm just trying to get out of the lights or any kind of crazy lighting.
So you've caught in some really, really good footage, and I've seen them over the years. And just so you guys know, I had a big, long discussion actually with Greg at practice the other night. And, you know, he told me that he'll catch a shot of, you know, a skater in sequence falling, but he won't post that photo because, you know, if the skater got hurt or something along those lines, he doesn't want anybody to be embarrassed by that photo getting out, or he doesn't want people being antagonized about being, you know, that they fell or whatever. So if a skater asks him, hey, did you happen to catch my fall? Can you send them to me? He'll send them to them, and they can do what they want with them, but he won't post them. So all those falls that you have, he just has them locked away. He just laughs about it at home.
He doesn't post
those. Yeah. He sends them to me privately.
Okay, so we both laugh about it. You guys have a private photo album, yes, which has tons and tons of photos of me falling. That is really good to know.
So sometimes I'll ask the people while we're still there, hey, I caught that.
Yeah.
And I'll show them, you know, I'll show them through my camera, the pictures.
Yeah.
And most people will say, I'll put that up. Or
can you imagine
post that? So
can you imagine being Greg and the little girl's over there crying and her dad's trying to wipe her tears and she's got bloody knees and he's running over? Hey, I got this shot.
Take a look.
So it's funny you say that. I delete a lot of those pictures too, because a lot of times, especially towards the end of the race, you've got some unhappy skaters here and there.
Yeah.
So we usually, I try to leave those off of there as well.
So basically he gets rid of the agony.
Yes. Right. That's probably good. And again, going back to my pictures, most of them falls or agony.
Right.
It's usually that. So
right.
You're the one I can blame for all of that.
So what kind of camera do you use when you take your photos?
I have a couple. I usually use the Nikon D4S. That's the primary. It's the one that does the best for fast action and a little faster for the low lighting.
Okay. And can you get, like, I mean, obviously skates move pretty fast. I mean, these guys are going around 20 something miles an hour. That's pretty quick in a short amount of space, especially when you're coming through a corner. Would you be able to film a NASCAR blowing by at 200 miles an hour with that same camera? I mean, is it a professional camera like that you're actually shooting the shots with?
Or? Sure. Yeah, I could catch pretty much anything.
Wow.
So it just depends on the light. So if the lighting's good enough, which a car is going to be either outside in nice sunlight,
right,
or they're going to have some really good lights up at a speedway. So
yeah,
that kind of thing is actually easier.
Oh, really?
Than the skating.
Well, let's see. So in the racing industry of cars, they go like 200 miles an hour, and skaters are going, you know, 20, 25. So that means sky's the limit. They can go as fast as they want. He's going to be able to catch them.
Exactly.
That's
a challenge right there. That really is a challenge. How fast can we go to where we can't be caught in photographs?
Hey, if the light's good enough.
How did you get started doing these photographs at the meets?
I'm pretty recent in the photography thing. So I was inspired with my daughter skating. So first in
Proud
order.
Proud Papa.
Yeah.
And she's here. Marley is here, by the way.
Yes.
She's hiding from the microphones. She's like, I'm going to get in the seat that's as far away as humanly possible so they can't try and talk me into going on the show.
Right.
So that was kind of my first inspiration. But really, there was another photographer that came to one of her events, and he shared those pictures with us. And I knew what that meant to me, and I thought it was a pretty cool thing. So it kind of gave me something to do while I'm at all these practices for a long time. That was my practice, too, in the beginning. I would shoot at every single practice until I got a little more proficient at it. And then I thought it was kind of cool. It's something I could do to give back. So I've always made it a zero money, no profit.
Yeah, I was going to ask what you
always
charge for your photos.
So,
and I already know the answer to this. It's free. I mean, we talk about in the sport people giving back, and we talk about what does it take to grow the sport. Well, you know, it's not just talking about it. It's not just telling your friends and family about it. It's not just inviting them to events as well as, you know, Facebook, you know, shares and whatnot and trying to get the sport out there. But it's seeing it, not just talking. It's also seeing it, you know. And these photos, we have a lot. Like I said, our league is very blessed. I mean, we have three phenomenal photographers that all take pictures, and every one of them share those photos. And Mark as well, you know. So we actually have four because Mark comes along as well, and he takes some photos also. But the factor that these guys are doing this, you know, basically free of charge, you know, it's their time, it's their equipment, and these cameras aren't cheap. You know, I mean,
no, they're not.
So, and his and his time isn't cheap. You know, I mean, time's worth something. So, okay. So, as a parent, I can tell you, you know, watching my son skate, watching my grandkids skate, I can't film them. I can't like video record them because all you would hear is screaming. You would see a skater and screaming. That's all you would hear is screaming because I'm always yelling. So, how do you take those photos when Marley's actually skating? You know, when your daughter's out there, can you take those photos or do you go, Michelle or Cindy will get those photos. I'm going to watch her skate.
No, I do take them, but that's probably one of the harder times. So I find myself sometimes watching the race instead of taking pictures.
Well, yeah, you're a skate dad at that point.
I usually try to catch back up with it.
So he picks the camera up and he goes click, and then he puts it down and he watches throughout the whole corner instead of following the whole pack and snapping a bunch of shots. So Marley's group gets kind of screwed out on that. I guess all those girls that end up in her heat are her finals.
He's too busy rooting. Or the opposite would be like, you know, say you see this in the NFL where as soon as the play's over, all of a sudden the coaches rush right over with the iPads. Hey, here's how the play broke down. So, like, have you ever done that where, like, she gets done skating and you rush right over with the photographs? Hey, here's what you look like in the corner. This is what your straightaway steps look like. Have you ever done anything like that?
No, I don't think we've went there. We have at home. Once I get them home and import them, we look at them some. And usually I have to have her help me tag people.
Right.
When the Facebook doesn't do it for itself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest, though. He's importing, you know, I don't know, 500 photos. So it's like it's not the 30 off of your phone. It's 500 photos or whatever that he's snapping. So
yeah, it's a lot when you're going through these meet photos because you're looking for people that you know, races where you know that, hey, that's my distance. Let me see, you know, what happened. It's a lot of photos to go through. So I admire you guys for not only the work at the rink when the meet is actually happening, but it's all the work after the fact.
Yeah. Well, again, it's post-production because, you know, as he's going through the photos, well, this one was blurry. And I don't like the way this one looked, or this skater got hurt, or this kid's crying, or, you know, so he's actually got to look at every photo before he actually posts them. He's not just hitting, I would just share the whole file. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm lazy. I would just go share, and I would share the whole thing. But Greg won't do that. He goes through every photo and critiques them 100%. And I know that the ladies do the same thing. I know that they go through them as well, and they kind of critique them and mess with them, do some editing on them and stuff like that. And I know Greg does that too. He tries to clean them up, make them look good.
How long does that take you?
It depends. The last meet, I think I shot about 1,500 frames.
Wow.
And I've only posted the first album and probably had 3 or 4 hours in that first post.
Wow. Do you try and get to it like as soon as the meet's over and you guys finally get home? Do you like to dive into it right then and there?
Well, I would like to, but there's always the real job.
We could ask Sean how long it takes to get a photo or a podcast uploaded.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because of his work schedule.
Yeah, then all of a sudden five things come up, and then boom, there you go. Your day's after
the fact. So
that's
the thing, too, is along with taking these photos, he's an absolute rock solid, amazing dad. They live down by Indianapolis, and they drive an hour and 45 minutes, hour and 50 minutes to practice one way, three times a week, almost every week. There's a handful of times when something's coming out, they don't make it, but they come all the way up north here to skate with us, an hour and 40, hour and 50 minute drive one way, three times a week. On top of, you know, his job's highly demanding, so he's working 10, 12 hour days every day, Monday through Friday, and sometimes on Saturdays or whatever. And so he's got a busy work schedule. He's got a busy father schedule, driving his daughter around on top of trying to upload photos for everybody and get that done. So it's a heck of a task. I'm impressed that he can do it.
So the question is, how soon till Marley can drive so that way you can take the nap on the way home after practice? Or she can drive herself.
We've got about another year, I believe.
He's counting down the days.
So. He's counting down the miles.
Right. Yeah, he's like, all right, she'll be able to do it herself, or I can be the one taking the nap on the way home. So Marley, come on over here, Because your dad, you can talk right into this, Mike. Your dad tells me, like, so you leave the rink, and you've got, like, what, about an hour and a half, hour, 40 minutes to get home?
Yep.
Your dad says by the time you guys even hit the highway, you're already asleep. So 5 minutes leaving the rink, you're already asleep. Is that true?
It's a little longer than that, but yeah, I sleep on the way home.
6 minutes.
And she's got school and everything, yeah, so yeah, 6 minutes, but blankets on, I'm passed out, I am done, correct? Yeah, she'll agree
that's
with that.
No, she's good, like, yes. Co-piloting.
Yeah, there's that rule. Okay, there's a lot of, like, road trip rules, and
that's
I understand,
right.
You know, you're young, you're not quite gotten there yet, but when you're driving, you'll understand. The person who is in the front seat, in the passenger seat up front, it's their responsibility to stay awake. That is. It's their responsibility to stay awake. He's going to rely on that.
Everybody tells me that when I'm driving. I don't understand it.
Well, you're the driver, and you're asleep, too, so I don't know what the heck the deal is.
Well, we want to make sure she keeps up with her schoolwork and gets plenty of rest, so that's really the main reason. It was kind of the deal we worked out with her mom, so that's the way we do it.
And it's fun to tease her about that, but yeah, I mean, I know we've had that discussion where it's like, I mean, all of a sudden, we practice during the week till 10 o'clock-ish. Yeah. I mean, that last drill could last till, you know, 5 after, 7, 8 after. Then there's take your skates off, get changed.
Sure.
Could be 10:30 before you're getting out of the rink, and you've got that drive home. And then, well, the alarm comes up pretty early the next day, not only for work, but for school for her.
Yeah.
So
and
you got to sleep at some
point. And I know that she's done homework in the drive up. As you know, she's doing homework actually in the car. She's reading a book. She's writing down answers or whatever on her way coming to practice. I mean, she's trying to maximize and take advantage of that time. So that works out well. That's actually good. That's good social studies time right there, because where's she going to go?
She's exactly.
Stuck in a seat. She can't go nowhere.
You've got to do your work, right?
Right.
And she's like, yes, I do. And that's and again, that's very awesome. Everything that you do for her to make her a better skater.
Well, thank you.
I mean, because to do all of that is just, it's insane. I mean, I don't even know how you stay awake.
A lot of coffee,
right? He's got a coffee right now.
So on Sundays, you know, much like most of the rinks across the country and the teams, we have a really early Sunday practice because you can get in before the sessions and before the parties.
Right.
So that's an early start. What time do you guys have to hit the road on Sunday morning?
I think we usually leave at
6:30.
Yeah, 6:30.
Okay.
6:30.
And I remember when Coach was actually, you were starting practice at 7 versus 8.
Yeah, when we get closer to the championships, we'll be doing that again, you know. Or if we have a lot of skaters that are showing up on Sunday morning, you know, the typical Sunday morning practice, we're in at 15 to 20. If we start getting 30 or 40, then I'll start bringing the advanced skaters in an extra hour early so I can run the advanced skaters, really get them tired. And then we go into the whole practice with everybody, you know, starting at 8 o'clock. So,
and I know you guys will continue to make it, even if it's an hour earlier, you'll continue to make it.
I remember doing those. I think we were leaving at 5:15 in the morning, something like that, most of the time.
Yeah, and people complain about getting up at 5 to go to the meet.
It's like, that's nothing.
And they go to practice every week.
Well, yeah, exactly. We do that. We're up early on Sunday anyway. So I don't know. It's maybe if you have a meet, it maybe is, you know, an hour earlier than normal. So it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Well, 5's daily for me, so the biological alarm clock goes off every day.
How much sleep do you get a night? That's I got to know.
Well, 3.5 hours.
Monday and Wednesday is the only day, so Tuesday there's a little bit of catching up to do by the time I get home from work. And
wait a minute.
There's
Marley says on Tuesday he comes home, sits down in a recliner, and he's gone until the morning.
Happens? All right, yeah.
That's the catching up I'm talking about.
He needs to get woke up for dinner.
So. Tuesday, it's every single other day.
It's every other day.
Wow, she's calling you out. She's calling you out.
See, so now I want those photos uploaded next Thursday.
Exactly. Get it done now. But really, in all seriousness, it's awesome that you do that, not only for your daughter, but you do this for all the rest of the skaters who I'm sure love going and seeing their pictures, and for the coaches who need to see some photographic evidence of all the stuff they've been trying to talk about.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
So, as far as the photos that you're taking and whatnot, is there certain skaters that you like to key on, because you know these are skaters that are gonna have better reactions to, like, in the corner, they're gonna have better form or better technique, or do you just grab everybody and anybody that comes to the corner?
I try to shoot everyone, so
right?
Yep,
see,
pretty much everybody.
Every photo I would take would just be bell skaters. I'm just real biased, unfortunately. If you got in the photo, you better be near my skater, or you're not getting in the photo.
Well, at least you're honest about that.
That's what I do. But again, he's able to personalize that and take himself away from a team aspect and say, I'm there for everybody. And I like that.
Say a long race, you know, breaks down to where there's, like, you know, three up front and a couple scattered skaters behind that group, you wouldn't just focus on those front three. You would make sure you got pictures of all the other people that were out there.
Sure. I try to include everybody. There is a percentage rate. So when you're taking these pictures, maybe 70%, 75% of the pictures come out good and the others don't. So sometimes, you know, there's going to be races where maybe I don't catch one person as many times as the other. And that's typically just that. And then even the colors of the skin suits can make a difference. So if there's not a lot of contrast in the color of skin suits, it's harder for the autofocus to grab it. So I got to work extra hard on the light contrast contrasting colors.
So darker colors autofocus better than lighter colors?
Those Bell skin suits are awesome. That black stands
out. There you go.
I tell everybody the same thing, but for different reasons.
I can grab autofocus, grabs right onto it. I hardly miss a Bell skater. That's not a bias thing.
You know, somebody had told me that, I can't remember if it was, it may have been you actually. No, I think it was Michelle. Michelle had took a picture. She was down in the turn coming out of the corner, and she was taking a photo, and she turned and she showed me the photo, and she said, white uniforms have got to be the hardest uniforms to grab because is it the autofocus? It just doesn't focus it in, so their faces are blurry?
Yeah, the autofocus system in them on almost all the cameras that I know of anyhow, they look for the contrast. So okay. White, gray is really tough. That's what the camera's really looking for, is a medium gray.
Okay.
So
a light gray, anything that's light, yellow, white.
Yeah, anything that doesn't have a lot of contrast.
Okay.
So keep that in mind if you're designing a skin suit looking at different colors. You know, as the photographs are important, if you want the photographs to be a little bit better, that's some great advice there.
Yeah, darker colors are better.
So even a helmet that's got contrasting colors sometimes, you know, it'll lock onto it. And
so some of the skaters have like neon yellow helmets. Do those helmets not grab as quick as like a black helmet or a dark blue helmet or something?
Right, there's not quite as much contrast to that. So
okay.
So stick with like the darker colors and like the black helmet, whatnot.
Or sometimes even some darker colors on the skin suits is enough.
Okay.
Okay.
Not necessarily the whole skin suit.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I had no idea. I would think that, hey, if you go with something like a white, might stand out a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then it might photograph a bit better, not knowing anything about the autofocus
and
whatnot.
They just look like Casper coming around the corner.
Well, yeah, exactly. And they're moving at such fast speed. I guess for me, and I actually was looking at some pictures earlier that you know, Inline Talk with Mr. Rogers had.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them had your son. Christian was in it, and Lauren from Michigan, who's a phenomenal skater, and Zach and Zach Street and Aaron Geddes were in this. It was the front group.
Yeah.
And I guess my thought when I saw this picture, and it came out perfect, it was extremely clear, and I don't know if you took that or where he ended up getting the picture from.
I saw the picture. I'm not sure. I know that was at Anderson.
Yeah.
And it's right where I sat.
So maybe that was
either you or probably Michelle.
It was a year or two ago. It could have been either one of us.
But I guess my thought was, I would just assume at the speed that those guys are carrying that it would just actually show up as a big blur.
Right.
I guess I'm like, how do you get this to where it looks that perfect
that crisp
when they're traveling at that speed, at that angle?
Right.
And it looks great.
So from a photographic standpoint, as a photographer, as a coach, I'm allowed to be in a side aisle and I'm allowed to be in a coach's box. As a coach, they don't want you just wandering around on the floor wherever you wanted to be you're not allowed to get in front of the officials and stuff like that. And as a photographer, I know you kind of want to move around and you want to get different angles, different straightaway. You want to get coming into the turn. You want to get coming out of the turn, maybe the start, coming down the straightaway, the finish, all these different things. But would it be suggestible for USA Roller Sports or for USRSS, would it be suggestible if they actually would incorporate in their rules that for a standard meet that there would be a photographer's box or two photographer points set up specifically for photographers so that they're allowed to go to those spots and they won't interfere with the race, they won't interfere with the officials? Would that be a good thing for those organizations to actually incorporate?
Yeah, it might not be too bad. I try to move around a little bit, and I always talk to whoever the meet director is and whoever the head referee, whether it be USARS or USRSS, and they've always let me on the floor pretty much when I've asked to. I just always make sure I go talk to them ahead of time.
Right.
And make sure that I'm where they want me to be. Usually they'll pinpoint me a spot.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so they tell you where they want you to sit at.
Now, off the floor, we don't really have to worry about that too much, and they've never said anything. I always shoot with both eyes open, or try to most of the time.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm past that safety stripe on the edge of the floor, I'm aware of what's going on or what's coming at me, and I think about where I am.
Good idea.
You know, you kind of have a trajectory. You know where they're going to be. If they do come flying off, you know kind of where they're going to be coming.
Have you had any close calls?
Yeah, I've been bumped into a few times. I've had people run into me.
Wait, Marlon said you got hit one time.
Once.
What happened?
So somebody crashed out in the turn and slid across the floor and just kind of slid into me, wheels coming at me. I got out of the way.
Okay. Well, yeah, and I'm sure you're, at that point, you're probably thinking first about the camera, protecting the camera.
Camera's in the air.
Protecting your body. You're like, well, I'd rather fall because I can recover, but I don't want to break my camera.
Right.
Hey, and sorry about that, too, by the way. I apologize. I did not mean to slide out into you.
The camera was up in the air, and I was scooting as fast as I could. I did get out of the way, but yeah, that's why I try to shoot with both my eyes.
Wow.
You know, one eye open and one eye looking in the lens.
See, no, I would be snap, 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 crash, and then they'd just run right in because I'd be so excited.
Didn't even see it. You know, like one of those guys on the NFL sidelines.
Come on,
who
watches NASCAR to watch guys go in a circle? No, everybody's waiting for the big crash. I'm sorry. Inline skating is fun to watch. Quad skating is fun to watch. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I don't. But the reality is when those guys and girls are out there rubbing and they're on each other, they're in each other's personal space, going as fast as they can possibly go, crashes are going to happen. And the reality of it is it's just part of the sport, and that's what makes it exciting. It's the excitement factor of how did they get through that whole corner, 3 and 4 wide, 2 deep, packed on top of each other, and nobody fell. It's just amazing. So it's not about am I going to fall. It's when am I going to fall, because everybody's going to fall at some point in time. If you're really racing, you're going to.
I pretty much know I've got like a certain amount of time. Like, oh my gosh, I haven't fallen in 3 weeks. Boy, that's going to end real soon.
I usually left skate you about that time.
Well, yeah, exactly. You just wipe me out. Like, here we go. Sweet.
Here we go.
There you are.
That's a quad skater move.
It's always good when it looks like Mr. Twister coming out of turn 3.
Mr. Twister. I love it. That's the catchphrase.
I like that. Well, Greg, we've got to start to wrap things up on this episode of Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Thank you for being here. And I think really, when you're at a meet, regardless of where that meet is, and you see the people taking the photographs, just say thank you, because it really is a great learning tool to look at these photos and say, oh, you know, Coach was always telling me to get lower. I thought I was low. Turns out I'm not. I need to get lower.
Yeah, and anybody out there that doesn't have Greg on their Facebook as a friend might want a friend request him, because they're probably missing out on a lot of great photos if they're not tagged in them or they don't have someone sharing it with them. So
I think every album I've ever made is still in my Facebook, so if anybody ever wants to go searching, they're welcome to.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll be able to. Yeah, we can link off of that at the Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach page.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hopefully then, cheers to you for all that you do, not only for your daughter, but for all the skaters out there. It's an invaluable service, and we can't thank you enough for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And thanks for coming into the studio at Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.